ॐ ध्यायामो धवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं अन्धस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। Shankara is praising Devi. So Devi or Tripura Sundari, as we have learned from various other shlokas. So Tripura Sundari, who is none other than Nirguna Parabrahman. So that Devi, Shankara is praising the Mahima of Devi, the glories of Devi, and various siddhis that a person will develop as a result of worshipping Devi. So what are the uses of these siddhis? These siddhis don't serve any serious purpose, but those are ways to make a sadhaka concentrate on Devi. So if you say something, you will gain something out of this, then people will start worshipping. So it's a way of that. That's the main purpose. So each and every shloka of Saundarya Lahari, though it may seem that, okay, there are shlokas which speak about vashikaram, there are shlokas which speak about roga nivaranam, removal of roga diseases, or like vashikaram, attracting people, all those things, yet in each of those we can find embedded or in-depth Vedantic concept, because the Devi that Shankara is speaking about, the Devi that who is praised in Lalita Sahasranama, is not Saguna Brahman, but she is ultimately Nirguna Brahman. So Nirgunai Namaha, Guna Vivarjitai Namaha. So there are many namas with Nirdvandvai Namaha. So Dvandva Varjitai Namaha. So there are many shlokas in Lalita Sahasranama which speak about Devi as Nirguna Parabrahman Chitihi. Chitte namaha tat pada lakshyartha, that who is implied using or implied by the word tat in tattvamasi, that is Brahman, brahmane namaha. So there are many shlokas, many namas in Lalita Sahasranama which speak about Devi as Nirguna Parabrahman, and Shankara also is here saying the same thing. So he is not deviating, though at the peripheral or externally, if we try to analyze, if we try to see as to what Shankara is praising or whom Shankara is praising in Saundarya Lahari, we may think that it is Saguna Devi and various siddhis that a person will gain by worshipping Devi, but it is not that way. If we understand it properly, if we understand the in-depth implied meaning of each of these shlokas of Saundarya Lahari, we'll find that in each of those shlokas, Shankara is praising Nirguna Parabrahman. So why should we take the implied meaning and not the direct meaning? Because direct meaning might give you temporary happiness, which is not the purpose of being or learning or knowing about Devi. So what is the purpose of anything, like any action? What is the purpose of any action? Why do we do actions? We do actions because we seek bliss. We seek anandam. That anandam which is permanent, which is untainted by sorrow, and which is everlasting. It is anandam or bliss that we seek through any action. So if something doesn't give anandam, it only gives temporary happiness, then it is not worth doing. And a great saint like Shankara will never propound things which are useless, which are of no use. That means Saundarya Lahari also needs to have the ultimate goal or ultimate phalam as anandam or moksha, what Vedanta calls as Jivan Mukti. So how does a person gain Jivan Mukti? Through Devi's sadhana, through being a Devi Bhakta. That is where bhakti and jnana has to be known in the right way. We need to understand it right. If we don't understand it, then we will be deluded. Bhakti is nothing but complete surrender, total surrender to a person. So bhakti becomes temporary, bhakti becomes impermanent if the person we are surrendering to is not an eternal entity. So here Devi's form, Devi as Nirguna Parabrahman, if we know Devi as Nirguna Parabrahman as a substratum of the entire world, Mithya Jagat Adhishthana, so that is the Brahman which is the basis for Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmeva Naparaha, and Brahman who is propounded in the entire scriptures, that Brahman is Devi, and I am surrendering to such a Brahman, such a Devi who is all pervasive, who is present in the entire world. Such a Devi, if I surrender, then that bhakti will take us to the state of Anandam. How does such a bhakti take us to the state of Anandam? Bhakti, along with the jnanam, the knowledge that Devi alone is present here, that will lead to Atmanivedanam, or surrendering oneself, completely offering. When we completely offer ourselves to Devi, then we will have the knowledge. We will realize that I am the Devi. I was trying to surrender myself, but I don't have any existence. Whoever is there is Devi alone. That means I am that Devi. That is called jnanam. That is what Shankara terms as jnanam. We can call it bhakti or we can term it jnanam. But it is different from the path. So bhakti as a path, as a way to realization through Navavidha Bhakti or through Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu, Padasevanam. All those things are fine. But finally, what will happen? Finally, it is realization of Advitiya Satyam. That there is only one thing. So that is what Shankara calls jnanam. We can call it Parabhakti or jnanam, Shankara's jnanam. But it is the ultimate goal. So a jnani might follow Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam, whereas a bhakta might follow the Navavidha Bhakti. Both lead to the final state of Advitiya jnanam, the complete knowledge that I am Devi. That's why Shankara says that Shastra or the scriptures say that there is only one path to realization, which is jnanam, because the final step, that is the goal itself, is jnanam. So we don't realize a new Devi. We only realize that I am Devi. My essence is Devi. Whatever I see is in fact Devi. So it is just realization. That means it is knowledge. That's why it's called, there is no path other than knowledge. This knowledge is same as non-dual bhakti, non-dual devotion, wherein we surrender to a Devi who is all-pervasive, who is Nirguna Parabrahman. So if we leave out that who is Nirguna Parabrahman aspect of Devi, then it becomes normal bhakti. It will not give us Anandam. And that which doesn't give us Anandam is not worth trying for. And a person like Shankara will never propound it. So then what about the Mahimas? What about the Siddhis that a person gets? Vashikaram and other Siddhis? Those are just like ways to attract people, one. And two, those are ways in which Shankara says that it doesn't mean attracting women, but it means the tendencies of women or going towards women is lustful characters or lustful qualities of the mind, desires of the mind. Mind itself is like a woman. It goes here and there. Like if you take a woman, a typical woman, you cannot generalize any category. But if you take a typical woman to shopping, then you'll end up an entire day shopping for just one sari or just one thing. The entire day you will end up shopping. Whereas go with a typical man, go to the first shop, the first thing, he'll be done with his shopping within 10 minutes. So women, or like generally women, or feminine qualities, means that going here and there, roaming here and there. That's the reason why it's also like studies also say that women are more romantic and women seek emotional support. They want attraction, so that's the purpose. So women will be under the control of a man. That means a man will be able to attract women. That means like women are under his control. That means he's not under their control, but they are under his control. That means sense objects, sense organs, along with the mind, he's under his control. He doesn't get controlled by them. That is what is the essence there. And controlling the mind, or having the mind controlled, means we'll be able to focus it towards the goal, towards moksha. You'll be able to constantly do nididhyasana. You'll be constantly able to surrender yourself to Ishvara. So either through complete surrender with knowledge of Devi, or the right attitude, the right attachment to Jnana Margam, Shravanamanana Nididhyasanam, that means Jnana Margam with devotion or attachment to the goal. So both ways, the final goal is one, that I am that. So it is Advitiya Satyam. Realization of the Advitiya Satyam, that means Jnanam of the Advitiya Satyam, or Parabhakti, which means merging, like oneness, realizing that oneness. So Bhakti in general means dual bhakti. Therefore, Shastras say that the final goal is achieved only through Jnanam, that means Advitiya Jnanam, which Narada also calls it as Parabhakti. We don't know, most of us don't know the meaning of Parabhakti. Therefore, Bhakti means dual bhakti. Therefore, Shastras don't speak about it as Bhakti. Moreover, the final step that you take is I am that Devi. So either that Devi is alone there, or I am that Devi. The Devi is alone there is Bhakti Margam, when you merge into Devi and realize only one Devi is there, or I am only there, I am that Devi. Whichever way you say it is non-dual knowledge or non-dual devotion. And so Vashikaram means controlling the mind and thereby taking us to the goal of moksha. So that means Saundarya Lahari also, Vashikaram can be meant or can be taken or understood as controlling the mind rather than controlling women, as is the generally used sense. So here, Shankara in the 22nd shloka, he is speaking about another type of siddhi. He is telling about people who worship Devi. So Devi in the form of Bhavani. So that Devi who is termed as Bhavani, and a person who worships Bhavani, what will happen to such a person? So the meaning is, we will have different siddhis, different meanings, different interpretations, different ways of telling, yet everything is one only. If we worship Devi with the knowledge that Devi alone is there, then we will realize. So that is the reason why Shastras say that we need Jnanam. Without Jnanam, you cannot realize. Why is it that way? Because without knowledge, we cannot realize. Because unless we have knowledge, we will see Devi as a particular form and be deluded. With knowledge, you know Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmeva Naparaha, and that becomes devotion. So without that aspect of knowledge or Shastra Jnanam, you cannot progress. So Shastra Jnanam is inevitable whether a person is a Devi Bhakta or a Jnana Marga, if a person following Jnana Marga. Obviously, a person who is a Devi Bhakta will learn from Saundarya Lahari that Mithya Jagat Adhisthana Brahmane Namaha Om Chityai Namaha Om Tatpada Lakshyarthaye Namaha. With all those namas, he will know that Devi is Nirguna Parabrahman, and Devi alone is present there. The world is an illusion, and I am that Devi. Because everything is Devi means I also have to be Devi. If Devi alone is there, then I also have to be Devi. So it doesn't matter whether spoken about Bhakti or Jnanam, but non-dual knowledge, or knowledge that one non-dual entity alone is there, and surrender to that entity or devotion to that entity, together gives us or leads us to moksha. So when Shankara says Jnana Margam, when he says, we cannot say there is no bhakti aspect there. There is bhakti aspect there. What is the bhakti aspect there? You surrender to the truth. You are not surrendering to a person. You surrender to the truth. You surrender to knowledge. You are devoted to knowledge. Unless you surrender to the knowledge, you cannot do nididhyasanam. So nididhyasanam means what? You surrender your entire mind to that particular truth. How do you do that? You surrender your entire mind to the truth by always having that truth in your mind. And a devotee, what does a devotee do? A devotee always thinks about Ishvara. That is the way person offers himself. Offering means always remembering Ishvara is offering. So both are the same. But the difference It makes a lot of difference when we don't know the goal or devi to be Nirguna Parabrahman. Similar way, we may learn the Shastras, but unless we know that the truth that we are seeking through Shastra Jnanam is Advitiya Brahman, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Eva Naparaha, then we will not be able to progress. So each and every shloka we may interpret in different ways. Shankara would be saying in different various ways, but still it all means only one thing. Devi Bhaktas, if we need moksha, then we need to understand Devi as Nirguna Parabrahman, know the Shastras. So without Shastra Jnanam, you cannot know Devi as Nirgunam. If the Shastras, means Lalita Sahasraname is also a Shastra, though it is not Shruti, but it is a Shastra. You need to have Shastra Jnanam, without Shastra Jnanam, it is inevitable to understand Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Vanaparaha. So you need to know Shastra. With Shastra Jnanam, surrender yourself to that Devi, and Devi will take care of the rest. Devi will ensure that we get realized. So this shloka, 22nd shloka, is set in Raga Saveri. So I am not a good singer, so it won't be that good. You can listen to my father singing, so that would be better. I'll sing, but it may not be accurate, it may not be right as well. Bhavani Tvam Dase Mai Vitara Dreshtim Sakaru Na Iti Stotum Vanchan Katayati Bhavani Tvamiti Yaha Tadaiva Tvam Tasmai Dishyasi Nija Sayujya Padavi Mukunda Brahmendra Sputa Makuta Nirajita Pada. I think in the second line the pitch got shifted. I'm not very sure about it, but it may be right. But our main aim of this is, like, it's an added advantage if we can learn one raga, be able to find one raga, sing in a devotional in a particular tune. So you can listen to my father, but that may be a side effect. It's not the real goal. The real goal is to understand the meaning of shlokas, understand the import and implement it in life. So what does Shankara say? Bhavani Tvam, you Bhavani. Bhavani means what? Bhavani means Bhavan. Bhavan means Shiva. Shiva's Patni, Shiva's wife is called Bhavani. Oh Bhavani. So why is Shiva called Bhavan? One who is born, or one who appears by himself, one who creates everything, he is called Bhavan. So Bhavani Tvam Dase, Tvam Dase, your Dasa, your slave, your a person who is following you always, such a person. Mai, in me, who am your slave. Slave means here, it doesn't mean that, okay, slavery like it was there during feudal age and other times. But here slave means that I am always at your feet. I am always remembering you. I want to please you always. Pleasing Devi means, how can we ultimately please Devi? There's only one way to please Devi, which is moksha. So pleasing Devi is having devotion, total surrender, and then realizing that I am that Devi. I am the Advitiya Devi. That's the only way we can please Devi. So Mai, Dase Mai, I am trying to please you. Mai, in me, Vithara means like Shavar what? Drishtim, vision. What vision? Karunam Drishtim, Sakarunam Drishtim. So Karunam, Sakarunam. So Shavar, your compassionate vision onto me. O Devi, Shavar your compassionate. Or, O Devi, you shower your compassion on me, because I am your slave. Thus, iti means thus. So, O Devi, shower your compassionate glance onto your slave whom I am. Thus iti stotum. Iti thus stotum yaha. Yaha stotum. Yaha. He who stotum, who sings, who praises Devi thus. And vanchan, who asks Devi for compassion, and stotum, who praises Devi. And how does he praise Devi? By what does he, how does he exclaim or like call upon Devi? He says, oh Devi, shower your blessing. But how does he say, bhavani tvam iti katayati. So a person who seeks, who praises you and seeks compassionate vision. So he praises thus, oh Devi, oh Bhavani, I am your slave, and shower your wish, compassion onto me, compassionate glance over me. And how does he, like, how does he call Devi? Oh Bhavani. So Bhavani Tvam Iti Katayati. So a person says, Bhavani Tvam, oh Bhavani you. And then he praises, shower your vision onto me. Such a person who praises you in this way, for such a person, tadaiva, tadaiva, in the same way, what happens to such a person? Tvam, you tasmai, for him. For him you give. What do you give? Mukunda Brahmendra Sphuta Makuta Neerajita Padam. So that Neerajanam, so Neerajanam, Neerajitam means that that which has been washed, or the water which has been washed, or like which has flown through Mukunda Brahma Indra. Mukunda, Mukunda Vishnu Brahma Indra. All of their sphutamakutam, so all of their crown in their head. So, or you can say, so or you can say, Neerajita Padam. Padam means feet. O Devi, your feet, which has been washed, which has been showered by the crown of Mukunda, Brahma, Indra. That means all of these people, all of these devatas have fallen at your feet, surrendered at your feet. That means it is as if the water or the glance from them, so the from the crown, the shining crown can be assumed as if it is a water which flows through your feet. So the crown are at your feet, that means it's like water flowing through your feet, that crown. So that particular, what do you say, the water, or like your feet, which like your feet, which is graced by all these great people, all these devatas. So in your feet, or off your feet, nijasayu je padavim. So your feet, what does your feet denote or signify? Nijasayuja padavim. So your feet which has been washed as if by the water, which is the various crowns of Brahma, Indra, Mukunda, etc. And which is a symbolism of Nijasayuja padavim. Sayuja padavi. Sayuja means merging, oneness. Oneness with Devi. Oneness with Brahman, Nirguna Parabrahman, that dishasi, you give to people who worship you. So, O Devi, people who worship you, saying that, O Bhavani, I need your compassionate vision. So, people who worship you thus, for such people, you give them Sayujya Padavi. Sayujya Padavi, it is seeking Sayujya Padavi that various devatas offer their entire entire life. So it is their individuality. So the individuality of a queen, king, the pride, the very presence of a king is denoted by his crown. So they surrender their crown. What do they get in response? They get Sahayujya Padavi. So give that Sahayujya Padavi. You give that Sahayujya Padavi to people who worship you seeking compassion. That means we can understand two things. So Sahayujyam, if we need Sahayujyam, one, we need to ask Devi for compassion, and two, like the Devatas who offered their crown itself, that means we need to have complete surrender. So it is surrendering of one's ego. Once we surrender our ego, there is nothing else to surrender, because with the ego, everything vanishes. That means, O Devi, I'll completely surrender on to you and I'll pray for your compassion. So complete surrender. So merely completely surrendering to Devi and then saying, Devi will give me a sign. Devi will tell me some point of time that do you need moksha. Then I'll go for it. So Devi herself didn't come and tell me that I should join Vedanta course. Chinmaya Vedanta course, therefore I'll not join. Why? Because Devi didn't tell me. So if Devi didn't tell me, she knows that it's not important for me. Therefore I can marry. Therefore I can enjoy worldly bliss. Devi didn't call me for a spiritual get together. Therefore I'll not go for a spiritual get together. I'll go for party. So all those are foolish people. So Amma says in many of her discourses, she says that Amma will willingly give you all worldly pleasures even though you may not ask it. But there is only one thing which you need to ask in order for Amma to give, and that is moksha. So moksha cannot be achieved without asking for it. Why is it that way? Uddare atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet. Moksha is something that cannot be given by another person. So Amma will be able to give a person all worldly pleasures because she is the controller of the world. Devi as controller of the world will be able to give all worldly pleasures except going out of the world. If we want to go beyond the world, then we have to take effort. That means we need the desire that I need to get realization. If we have that desire, then their grace will fall upon us. If their grace falls upon us, then we will be able to go in the right direction. So we can say that it is due to Amma's grace that I realized. But ultimately, what is happening? Amma's grace is always there. But we become eligible to get that grace. So it is we. Effort is required only at our side. There is no effort required at Devi's side. There is no effort required at Ishwara's side. There is no effort required at Amma's side. There is no effort required at the Guru's side to make the disciple realized. It is the all effort needs to be from the disciple. What should be there then? Complete surrender as denoted by the crowns falling at her feet, thereby getting Sahayujyam and asking for compassion. So compassion means what? Why do I need your compassion, Amma? Because I need moksha. If I need moksha, I cannot go without you. I cannot gain moksha without your grace. Therefore, through your compassion. So in fact, does this mean that Devi, your karuna is not falling upon me? And I am asking you to, you have your eyes closed, therefore I am asking you to open? No. It is this prayer which opens our eyes. Devi's eyes are always open. Devi is Karunamayi. So, Amma is Karunamayi. So she is Karunasagaram. So that's one of the words that he used. So it's a Karuna, Karuna Nirkadale. So Karuna Nirkadale Ninngati Mari Ulugugil Sharanam Veriniyar Amma. Amma Sharanam Veriniyar Amma. Oh Amma, Karuna Nirkadale. Oh Karuna Nirkadal. Oh compassionate ocean. If your flow goes somewhere else, then who else will I depend upon? So this prayer doesn't mean that Devi's Karuna is not there. Karuna is always there. But it is this prayer which opens our closed eyes. So we have our eyes closed and we say, when I ask Devi for compassion, when I ask Devi for Karuna, for her grace, then she opens her eyes. But what is really happening is, her eyes are always open. It is only our opening of the eye. Our eyes are opened through the prayer. So asking for compassion means opening our eye. Why do I need compassion? I need siddhis. It's not, that is not the essence. Devi's Karuna means like compassion of Devi. The moment Devi's compassion we are able to apprehend, then what would Devi want to give us? That is the reason why Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and many others say that, oh Devi, I should pray to you that, I shouldn't pray that I want this, I want that. I should pray that, give me what you want me to have. That means, what would Devi want us to have? Nothing but moksha, because she knows that that is the only thing which can pacify people. So, asking for your compassion means, when you are compassionate, you will give what is good for me. What is that? Moksha. That means, in turn, I am asking for moksha. Oh, asking for compassion is not asking for moksha. I can ask for compassion and thereby Devi will give me worldly pleasures. For that, you don't need compassion. You just need to go to Amma, be a regular devotee, chant Lalita Sahasranama daily, you will get all pleasures of the world. You don't need to ask Amma, or you don't need to ask for Amma's compassion in order to get that. But here, compassion, when we ask for compassion of Devi, that means we are asking for moksha. We are indirectly asking for moksha. It's a symbolic way of telling. It's one way to tell that, oh Devi, I am surrendering to you, give your compassion. That means Devi can give you only moksha. Another way of doing it is, oh Devi, I know your compassion is always there, I only need moksha. When somebody prays like that, with surrender, so with complete surrender and asking, so those are the two aspects we need to ask. Without asking, moksha will not be achieved. So asking and then total surrender, that will give us sahayujya padavim. Sahayujyam. Sahayujyam means oneness with Devi. What is the purpose of merging into Devi? Because we know, okay, there is no purpose of merging with Devi. If I merge with Devi, then I can enjoy with Shiva. I can enjoy with Paramashiva. It's as if like there are many puppets in my hand. Different worlds are puppets in my hand. I can change them. That will be the way a person will think if he doesn't have Jnanam, Shastra Jnanam. For a person who has Shastra Jnanam, what is the purpose of Sahayujyam? Sahayujyam means merging onto Devi, who is Nirguna Parabrahman. When we merge onto Devi, we become Devi. What is that? What is Devi's nature? Satchidananda Rupinyai Namaha. Amma's Nama goes. So, Satchidananda Rupinyai Namaha. Satchidananda Rupam. You are of the nature of Satchitananandam. That means, when I gain Sahayujyam, I become Anandam. I'll rejoice Nandati Nandati Nandathyera. So, that is the purpose of this particular shloka. O Bhavani. So Shankara says, when we are praying to Devi, we need to have two things. So we need to completely surrender to Devi and ask for moksha. So asking for moksha is not telling I want moksha but still doing worldly things. I want moksha but I will marry. I want moksha but I will take care of my parents. I want moksha but I will take loans. I want moksha but I will do worldly things. So that is not wanting or asking. Asking is when a person really wants it, really needs it, badly needs it. That is the only priority in his life. Whatever else comes as an obstacle, poses as an obstacle, he will just remove it, like Prahlada setting aside his father and Mahabali setting aside his own guru. So that is what is the asking here. O Devi, have compassion and give me moksha. I want moksha. That means, I am not just asking for moksha, I am doing things, I am doing sadhanas with devotion, and I am doing Shastra Jnanam. So the emphasis of Shastra Jnanam, or when Shastras say that there is no way other than Jnanam to realize, they are speaking about Parabhakti or one Bhakti, the Bhakti in which you merge into Ishvara and realize that you are that Ishvara. That is the goal. So, Shravanam, Smaranam, Kirtanam, Bhajanam, etc. are Parabhakti. They are only Margam. They are only the path. The goal is what is called as Jnanam. Why is the goal Jnanam? Because the knowledge that I am Brahman, I am Devi. If a person is able to do that, there is no need of Bhakti. Only a person who cannot concentrate his mind on Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmevana Paraha, there is an easy way of concentrating. Assuming a form, having devotion, surrendering with the knowledge that the form is everywhere. So that means directly the form is everywhere and you can contemplate. But if you are not able to do it, then the form is everywhere. It's only there along with surrendering. So that means Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Evana Paraha. Constantly contemplation on that means effort is on our side, but with devotion we shift that effort to that Brahman itself, saying, "Oh Brahman, I surrender to you." Both are same, but in the second case, it's for people who cannot really come or fully follow it. But without jnanam, without the knowledge that Brahman is everywhere, we'll be seeking worldly things. We'll be seeking Devi's form. We'll be seeking Devi's pretty form, or Devi's beautiful form, or staying with Paramashiva, or enjoying worldly pleasures, or heavenly pleasures, but we'll not be able to go to realization. So that the purpose of this shloka is, O Devi, I will be devoted to you, I'll surrender to you, I'll also learn the Shastras, I need the Shastra Jnanam. Shastra Jnanam makes you realize your glory. Shastras speak about your glory, and Shankara's words of like your Mahima, your worldly glory. Shastras speak about your divine, your spiritual, your ultimate glory, whereas Shankara is speaking about your worldly glory. Worldly glory will bring me surrender, devotion, have devotion in me, whereas Shastra Jnanam will make me more and more intellectually stable and convinced to be able to contemplate on you. So there may be like, there are a lot of people who argue about Jnanam and Bhakti. So if Bhakti is Parabhakti, if Bhakti is surrendered to that Ishvara who alone is present, who is Advitiyam, that means finally you end up as that Ishvara, then that Bhakti is accepted, that surrender is fine, because it is associated with Jnanam that Shastras say. So without that Jnanam, Bhakti is invalid. In Jnana Margam, you will have that Jnanam. The moment you have the Jnanam towards Brahman, you had Anam about Brahman, you gain devotion towards Brahman, it's not surrender, but it is total attachment to Brahman. Whereas in the Bhakti Marga, without Jnanam, Bhakti becomes invalid. In Jnanam, if you just go on learning without having attachment or Bhakti towards the goal, you'll not progress. Both are same, but Shastras say that knowledge about the goal is more important than having surrender to the goal. So you don't need to surrender to the goal, you need to know the goal. At least if you know that the goal is Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya, you are not attached to the goal, you may not realize in this birth because you don't work towards it. You will fall down, you will know that that is the goal, but you will not be able to go till there. But in the next birth, you will go. But if a person doesn't even know the goal, there is no point. So that's the reason why Shastras say that Jnanam alone is the way to realization. So that Jnanam is Advitiya Jnanam, the goal Jnanam, Jnanam about the goal, which we can say that the moment we know now Jnanam about the goal, then one way is we completely surrender to the Jnanam, to the goal, which is Parabhakti. So both are same, but Jnanam is very essential. Amma herself says Shastra Jnanam is very essential. So some people, like I myself might say or speak at some time that you need to have devotion, or I may say, okay, you need to learn Shastras. So both are same, you need both. But the final goal is what? Advitiya Jnanam or Parabhakti. Both are one and the same. So that is what Shastra says, Jnanam. So Jnanam alone, Advitiya Jnanam alone can give you realization. The Bhakti or Bhakti as we know, a Parabhakti cannot lead us to Moksha. So Shankara is here telling that if we worship such a Devi, Devi in this format with one, complete surrender, and two, asking moksha, asking for compassion, then we will gain sayujyam. It is the purpose of Vedanta. So that also proves that Shankara is not speaking about Shakta system, but he is speaking about Vedanta itself. We'll continue in the next day. Hari Om.